Okay, let's take a look at an image, a fine art image called The Second Mile, entitled by its photographer Michael Belk with Journeys with the Messiah. And this is a fascinating image, one you wouldn't really even imagine in your mind, but nonetheless, here it is. Jesus walking down the road with a Nazi. Looks to be an officer. And what can we learn from this image? What could this cause us to maybe curiosity really think about? Well, first of all, you look at the man on the left has a uniform. Jesus has no uniform. The man on the left has his own self-imposed authority. Jesus just walks in authority. The man on the left has boots to stomp out mankind. Jesus just doing his thing, walking with his sandals. And I find this interesting. On the left-hand side of the page, you have, on the Nazi side, you have these high places. Man trying to exalt himself to this high place in life. And that's what mankind usually does. But look at the topography on the right. Jesus is really, on his side of the screen, is the low places, knowing that those who humble themselves will be exalted, knowing that on the left-hand side of the picture, those that exalt themselves will actually end up being humbled. So where does this all come from? Why is Belk giving us an image of one who wants to exterminate the Jews, and on Jesus' side, he actually is of Jewish descent? It's fascinating thought. Well, it all comes out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42, and what takes place here is Matthew, a Jew, is speaking and quoting Jesus, who says, if somebody wants you to sue you to take your tunic, he says, why don't you give them a cloak also? If they want to hit you on the right cheek, why don't you give them the left cheek? If they want you to walk a mile with their baggage, why don't you walk two? And Jesus is obviously speaking to how to deal with oppressive people. He's talking about living the inward transcendent life versus the outward oppressive life. Jesus dealt with the Roman Empire and the Caesar, who wanted to be called Lord himself. He dealt with this in his day and age. There's nothing really new under the sun. There's always Nazi regimes, and there's always evil, and there's always oppression. So Jesus makes this incredible statement by condescending himself, allowing himself to lower down into an earthly realm to deal with this kind of thing, to vacate the throne of heaven, to talk with people such as is depicted here, you know, a Nazi, maybe even Hitler. So it begs the question, is there anybody that Jesus wouldn't talk to? He's not talking to Adam. He's not preaching to him. He's in a dialogue, a discourse. He's both talking and listening. He's communicating. Christ came for everyone, regardless of their lot in life, regardless of their level of evil. He died for everyone. So that is to say, there's nothing you can do that would keep him from wanting to enter into a dialogue with you, as depicted by this image, as depicted by the story in Matthew. God wants to speak with you. God wants to hear from you. Examples. Look at Moses. Moses murdered an Ethiopian, but yet God still met with him. God still talked with him. God still empowered him. God still directed him. I don't know that there's anything we can actually do that would keep God from actually having a dialogue with us. Now the question is, what happens in that dialogue? Saul, we know as the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was knocked down to the ground in the midday sun. And the Lord asked him, he said, why do you persecute me? And Jesus says, the world will hate you because of me. They're really hating me. I don't know what your attitude is towards Christ. Nice guy, nice teacher. Maybe you believe he's the Lord. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, he is risen from the dead, and he seeks to have a dialogue with you. And what you've done is certainly less than a Nazi regime. And I think what Belk is telling us, it doesn't matter what you've done. He still wants to communicate with you. He still wants to reveal himself to you. So let's get off the guilt trip. Let's get off the shame. Let's get off the unworthiness and accept the fact all of that is true. But he makes us worthy and wants to talk with us. I encourage you today to enter into a dialogue with Christ. Speak to him and wait for him to answer you. And he will in various ways. And you'll see that to be true. The second mile. Go the second mile. He's carrying your heaviness on your behalf. And in so doing, has he not laid out for you the opportunity to dialogue with him about why he would do so? He is carrying your burdens for you, should you allow it. Second Mile,